Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 69. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show. I know nice. I wasn't there. As you hear my co-host cackling, this week it's all about D23 and our wonderful behind-the-scenes breakdown. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host Danya.
I'm going to behave now, I promise.
Are you? Are you really?
No.
I wasn't here last week to make sure that you guys behaved.
Oh, I know. I'm like the cool parent.
I know, right? Anyway. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Including, you can pre-order Inferno Squad, which I have actually used one of my credits on recently. So, I'm excited to listen to that.
I pre-ordered the actual book.
Well, so have I. Well, so actually, here's the thing. So, I actually, it looks like that one and the Kindle version will actually sync up with the Audible's Whisper Sync. So, I pre-ordered it for both my Kindle and Audible. So, as I'm driving to work, I can listen to it. And then when I get home work on my break, I can read it. And then pick up where I last read. So it's called technology, Danya. Jump into, get out of these paper things. Go to the digital world.
I mean, technically, I'm reading an ebook version of most of these.
Okay. But there you go.
Most of the way there.
Okay. So same thing. But mine synchronizes. Anyway, over to you.
Yes. Over to me. So, guys, we have launched a Patreon. So if you have not sub to us on there, you can check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. It means that while we're recording this episode, for example, you can listen into us as we do, interject some witty comments, change our conversation up a little bit if you feel like it. You can also just chat to us and other fans of Resistance Radio in our Discord chat. We have movie nights, we're gonna do more After Dark episodes, so you know, whatever you want, really, and we're always open to feedback and hearing what else you want from us, so yeah. And also, our first After Dark episode is currently up on the Patreon feed. If you aren't currently subscribed, you can listen to that free. I'm right in saying that. I think I said that last week as well. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
So you can listen. Yeah, you can listen to that. We basically talked a little bit about Star Wars' 40th anniversary and Harry Potter's 20th anniversary, and kind of compared the two a little bit. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I will say, I made some amazing connections between the two, being such a big fan of both of them. You know, everything from Luke growing up under the stairs, Harry growing up from under the stairs, you know, a lot of weird things that, you know, you just realize, like, both Luke and Harry grew up under the stairs. Anyway, move on to our news.
I mean, if you can't support us via Patreon, you can also buy a t-shirt or a button set from our website as well. Or you can just send the link to other people.
That's true, Star Wars fans.
Get the word out there.
All right. Time for the news. So I will tell you this. I am ecstatic Ron Howard has taken over the Han Solo film. And he has been tweeting up a storm. We got a couple different articles about him sharing photos from the set of Han Solo. The first one comes from Hypeable. Where we got a picture of Lando Calrissian and Chewbacca, which I think looks pretty cool. Like, I will say Lando looks a little different than I'd expected, but I guess it's on a monitor, so it's super tiny. It's hard to see. But Chewie looks very happy and young. He looks a little younger there. I don't know, his hair is maybe not as...
It'd make a lot of sense that he would appear younger and...
Yeah, except, you know, Chewie's like 200 years old, so, you know, 20 years younger, 10 years younger, it's not really that much. Like, he doesn't have that much gray hair like some of the other Wookiees we've seen. But the most recent tweet was actually today of him talking about hyperspace is real, his first experience. And I think that photo is just freaking awesome. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that photo at all they posted.
Yes.
That, you know... it's one of those things where I love that they've taken, like, we're not going to do it all CGI. Like, I get, you know, the prequels had a lot of CGI, and George Lucas was trying to push the envelope again, and I love him for that, and I love the stories for that. But doing these practical effects, like having them project, you know, hyperspace on, you know, a white psych or something like that, and then have the cast and everything, like, be have that in the background behind them, like the windows of the Millennium Falcon or whatever ship they're using, like, I'm just beyond ecstatic about that. I think that's the coolest thing ever. So,
I mean, I love practical effects. I think that, well, both myself and you, coming from a film background, like, there's so much in, like, CGI and visual effects that is incredible. The work those guys do is insane, and I have nothing but utter respect for them and what they do. But it's the same with, like, any kind of technology that kind of... The problem with it is that it's always going to age. And it's always going to show its age. Because technology moves so quickly. So when they use practical effects, you don't get this weird uncanny valley kind of area. Because you know that it's actually real. It's something physical. And so when the film ages, even though you could date it, you don't get that weird feeling of, oh, this is really old, or, oh my god, look at those effects, they're so dated now. Because there's something real, there's something physical to it. It's a lot easier to still be impressed and accept it for what it is, because you're not falling into this weird sort of middle ground technology along so far that you can tell it's not real. Whereas the practical effects, like, even the practical effects from the original trilogy, when I watch them, I'm still, like, seriously impressed by it every time I watch it. Because you know how difficult that was. And a lot of the time, you know that it's practical, that it's real. So...
I think it's also, like, the argument of, like, Jabba from A New Hope Special Edition versus Jabba from Return of the Jedi. You know, one is a practical puppet, the other is CGI. Or if you have, like, an old copy of Phantom Menace, you know, you had practical Yoda sitting there, and then an old copy of Attack of the Clones. You know, the CGI Yoda from Attack of the Clones has been updated in every release of Attack of the Clones, because...
They have the CGI,
Yeah, because it was so, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, ah, this wasn't as good as it could be. We could have just done a puppet, but you couldn't get Yoda jumping around like you did in Attack of the Clones. So I like practical effects, but I think it's also because, you know, it gives it the Star Wars feel, in the sense of, like, the lived-in universe, like, the tangible there. So so I like that. Like I said, as much as I like the photo of Chewie and Danny Glover as Lando, I think the light speed one, the hyperspace one, is really what gets me. And I'm like, that's kind of freaking awesome. Moving on to not Han Solo news, but to The Last Jedi news, Hasbro has unveiled Luke and Rey figures from Star Wars The Last Jedi, which will be available on Force Friday, September 1st. Actually, these will be available at San Diego Comic-Con, though, on August 4th, starting on August 14th, which is pretty cool. One thing I noticed about these, and Donnie, I don't know if you noticed, is if you look at the packaging, they're very similar. They mirror each other. You know, the package mirrors open. Rey is the Jedi training, and Luke's the Jedi master. Rey has a blaster, a staff, and a lightsaber in her packaging. Luke, they don't show anything at all.
Yeah, like, Luke, I don't has even know his if he... hand.
Yeah, Luke has his robotic hand that's covered with... is it robotic or is it a black glove? It looks like it's robotic. He wore a black glove in Return of the Jedi, because, you know, CGI robotic hands, not something they're going to do in 83. But yeah, like, I find it really funny that, you know, Rey comes with all the weapons, and Luke just comes with the cloak, and it, you know, it looks really nice. It's a nice cloak.
Rey has like it, robes, I feel, but... like we should interject, like, come as you are here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'll tell you this, I will be thoroughly disappointed if we don't see a green lightsaber in The Last Jedi. Like, if we don't see Luke's green lightsaber, I will be very disappointed. Because we haven't seen it in the behind the scenes or the trailer.
No, we have not.
And we don't have Luke, you know, with any... Like, here's the thing, is, like, if you... In the window of Rey, you see all the weapons that she comes with. the window of Luke, you see nothing but Luke and his cloak. Does he come with no weapon? Now, I get it. Action figures, you know, some of them are supposed to. Maybe Luke is just so powerful now that he doesn't even use a lightsaber. Like, Yoda really didn't. Yoda had a lightsaber and he used it to attack the clones, but he was Yoda. He didn't really need to use it. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of like, huh. Obi-Wan had one. I don't know. What do you think? What do you take about that? What do you think about this, Danya? Like,
I mean, I think it's interesting because there's been a lot of theorizing about this idea that Luke has maybe given up the ways of the Jedi. So it's entirely possible that he decided to all go.
Well, like, he's a father now, you know. He has a daughter, you know, raised his daughter, so he... You guys didn't talk about it last week, so...
No, we didn't, and it was blissful. Damn it, Mikey. One conversation.
Never. It's going to happen. And when I'm right, you'll never hear the end of it again.
Oh,
and when
man.
I'm wrong, I'll be in denial the whole time.
You will. And I'll be, like, so smug.
It's like, yeah, we didn't watch the same movie. Now, who knows? But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of theories surrounding Luke. You're right. And I don't know. Like I said, I will be thoroughly disappointed if I don't see a green lightsaber in the film. Even just like while training. But you know, it's.
There you know, was something it, from the comic. You carry on talking. I'm going to see if I
yeah.
can. No, I found it. I say that. Yeah. It happened while I was kind of like away. It wasn't like a massive thing, but some people have been talking about it like very, very briefly. Is that one of the Star Wars comics, Darth Vader number 2, kind of introduced this idea of an old Jedi vow that explains why maybe Luke went missing. And, spoiler, I guess, if you don't want to see any of it. So, basically, after Order 66, Vader tried looking for any further Jedi.
Oh, yeah, you're talking
after
about
taking the Barash vow.
The Barash, yeah, and so certain people won't even. They couldn't even if they wanted to because of the vow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's complete disengagement from anything but the Force. So, yeah, it kind of would line up with what Luke is doing, considering that he's, like, run away to an island planet and then removed that planet from all maps and stuff like that. You know, if it's, like, some sort of penance for what happened or if he's, like, trying to hide away, like,
You know what's interesting is I almost wonder if a lot of the stuff that we'll get in the series revolves around some of the comics, because remember what's the name of it? Shattered Empire. That's the one with Shara Bay, right? And then it goes into them wanting to the force tree. Shattered Empire. Yeah, because he goes with Shara Bay to get the trees, which we see in, we actually see it in Forces of Destiny, that tree. We also saw it in Clone Wars, which was at the Jedi Temple, right? We see the living force embodied in a tree that was planted at the temple. And we know in canon, not only is it in those medias of, you know, Forces of Destiny, but also in Clone Wars, but we also have it in the comics. And with the stuff that we see about the Vader comics and stuff like that, I wonder if, you know, Disney gave, you know, Rian Johnson and Colin Trevorrow was like, hey, this is where some of the, you know, newer ideas are coming from, like in these comics, and having them read it. And that's where they're getting some of the ideas, because I wouldn't be surprised if the tree that we see inside the first trailer was one of the Force trees. Like, you know, we know one was planted on Yavin 4 with, you know, Poe Dameron's parents. And the other one, we don't know where it was planted. Luke took it. For all we know, it could be on Octu, and that's it growing. You know what I mean? So, and that would be why Luke removed that planet from all maps, to protect the tree. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of interesting theories that if you read the comics, the ideas are there. And I'm wondering if that's something we'll see in The Last Jedi and beyond. I don't know. Something to think about. But that's all based on our wonderful two action figures that we get, Rey and Luke.
Yeah, I know, right? Talk about over-obsessing.
A little too much. We'll get to maybe Luke will have another action figure. One that has a lightsaber. Maybe Luke will have another action figure, one with a lightsaber or something. Who knows? But we'll have to wait and see.
I talk about over-obsessing, right? Who said to Andrew, "Hey, Andrew Sims, who runs Hypeful, hey, I'm just going to write a really quick article about this behind-the-scenes video that we got at D23 over 1,200 words later for what ultimately amounted to less than a minute's worth of footage. Good going."
It was two minutes long.
Yeah, but I mean, like, actual genuine footage of, new footage of the film that wasn't just them talking about, this is new, this is different, this is going to be great.
Well, we'll talk more about that, because this is going to be our spotlight topic, but I will say I was a little disappointed in it. Like, one, it's beautiful and amazing, I love it, but I'm disappointed because the Rogue One was 4 minutes long, and this one's only two. Anyway, moving on. Speaking more about Hasbro and toys, based on last week's conversation about Star Wars Monopoly not having the Rey figure, Hasbro has commented, and they've actually said in a tweet, that you can actually go ahead and purchase it in the U.S., the new Star Wars Monopoly featuring Rey from the Hasbro Toy Shop. So it sounds like the ones that are still in retailers in the U.S. still don't have it. But director J.J. Abrams and Hasbro has said you can contact them to get your Rey Monopoly token for free, which is really great. But it's one of those things where, you're right, it was kind of one of those things where this stood under the radar. You know, they talked about bringing out the Rey token and doing more, and it sounds like they did it at the beginning of 2016. More than a year and a half later, it's finally coming to light that they really didn't do anything with it. They kind of sat on it the whole time, which, you know, I'm glad that they're kind of stepping up and letting you buy it here in the U.S., and you can get your Rey token even if you don't, you know, if you don't have it. But at the same time, like, why is this a year and a half later? Why didn't you announce this, like, when they said, oh, no, we don't want to buy them? Okay, well, we have this new version. Let your fans know about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, the PR around this, an absolute mess. They are a disaster.
It's definitely a response to AP's article and even, you know, us talking about it and bringing it to light, you know, to people last week. So I think it's a...
Oh, no, it's reactive rather than proactive. And what they should be doing is proactively responding to the original set of criticism that they had. Like, they knew that criticism was out there. Chances are that the very low sales of Monopoly within the United States is solely down to the fact that they had such bad PR for leaving Rey out in the first place. So what they should have done when they finally had the Rey token and had created a new Star Wars Monopoly set is exactly what they're doing now. If you already have purchased Star Wars Monopoly, you can reach out to them and get a Rey token sent out to you. Then, for vendors who can't afford to replace all of the sets of Monopoly, send the tokens out to them in little bags so that if someone purchases them within the store, give them a Rey token. Like, it's frustrating because there's so many ways in which they could have handled this. And what they did is they went with silence and hoping that nobody noticed anything and just tried to carry on as normal. But the thing is that someone was always going to realize this eventually. And it may even have been that, like, the general public might have noticed it, but media hadn't picked up on it. But the second that someone from the media, at least, like, a semi-prolific site, noticed, it was always going to get back out there again. And it's entirely on them. The thing is that the stupidest part about this is that they rectified the problem, they just didn't say anything. And it's kind of like, well, if you'd rectified it, why wouldn't you just tell people? It's just stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's, who knows? Like I said, it's totally reactionary to the article that came out. But the fact that they had it fixed in early January of 2016, and it's taken to now before it becomes kind of like a commonplace to be able to get the part, I think it's really dumb. But in hindsight, you know, in better news, Hasbro has tweeted that they love Rey, and fans can find Rey products at HasbroToyShop.com, where you can get the new Monopoly, and at retailers worldwide. But more is going to come at San Diego Comic-Con and Force Friday, too, on 9/11, that will have many, many Rey products. So hopefully they learned their lesson and we'll have more Rey stuff, and not just a bunch of Kylo Ren that, you know, was not as popular as Darth Vader. I'm sorry.
I mean, he's
I get that. Like, I think, like, when they're going to it, they were hedging the bets of Kylo Ren becoming like the next Darth Vader. You know, like, I get that, but it definitely was not. He wasn't nearly as popular.
No, because I don't think he resonates in the same way. Because we don't have that kind of, story that kind of connects yet. And Vader had a lot of time to kind of build up, get really popular. Like, we're in the first film, and honestly, at this point, it's kind of like this flip-flop sort of, isn't what's going on with him, oh, what sort of role that he's got. So it makes a lot of sense that he didn't resonate in the same way. It's hilarious to me that, in fact, people just gravitated towards the First Order troopers and Captain Phasma more because they like that look a lot more. Like, I saw so much stuff going out with, like, all the different First Order troopers.
First Order troopers were awesome.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess it's time to talk about some of the other news from D23 that is not, that's not the trailer, or not the trailer, but the behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
BTS breakdown. I'll break it down. First
Mikey,
thing.
No.
I know. Sorry. I was working. Come on. Anyway. Behind the scenes footage we'll get to in a second. But I do want to talk about Galaxy's Edge. Which is the name of the Star Wars land that Disney is having at Disneyland and Disney Orlando. First of all, did you see the video that was posted to the fly-through?
Yes. If you think I haven't been all over this, Mikey,
well,
then...
Well, I figured
then...
you have. Like, I'm watching it again, like the CGI fly-through of it. And, man, it just looks so cool. Like, you have the First Order TIE Fighters there. You have the Millennium Falcon line there. The planet is really interesting. It's very reminiscent to me of a mix between something like Lothal meets... Actually, it almost just looks like a Lothal. It meets maybe like a Tatooine or something like that.
I was also thinking it's got like shades of Takadana in it as well. Like, there's an archway with loads of banners. Floating, like hanging down from it, that was very reminiscent of Takadana. And then there's a lot of like domed sort of ceilings and stuff.
Dome stuff reminds me of Lothal and whatnot, because as you look at it, like, it's kind of like the wear on it and stuff like that, and the kind of like graffiti. Obviously, it's Star Wars graffiti and stuff like that. Like, it reminds me a little bit of that, so I'm kind of beyond excited about it. It's interesting, though, because we don't see the AT-ATs or the AT-ACTs. Like, we don't know what they were, but we don't see those structures anywhere. And if you go through the fly-through, you see that there's kind of a hill section that you walk over and whatnot. I wonder if they're going to be part of a ride and they're inside, like, they're, you know, they're closed up inside of it. Because obviously they didn't take them down or anything like that. But what do you think about that, Danya? Disappearing.
What? Disappearing.
The AT-ATs disappeared. The ones that we knew they built.
I mean, I don't know. It could be that they decided that maybe it doesn't fit in with the vision that they eventually had.
I can't imagine that. Like, this is like, here, I'm going to pull a picture, I'm going to post it. See if I can save the picture. Okay, fine. But basically what happens is there is a section that is this big, rocky, hangar-looking type building that's a part of the Star Wars land. And I feel like the AT-ATs will be inside there.
Oh, you think they'll be inside?
Yeah, because I feel like this is the ride. I feel like it's a ride that you're going to go into, a la Harry Potter and like the Forbidden Journey or something like that.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Oh, sorry, you haven't been on that. So for those listening, think of Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, the mix of practical and projected, you know, stuff, and you go through a ride. Well, go through like any ride. Think of any Disney ride, like even Space Mountain or something like that, where you go inside. Or a good, perfect example would be like something like Splash Mountain. You know, you have the full, you have a giant ferry boat inside of Space or Splash Mountain and stuff like that, where they sing zippity-doo-dah. So I feel like the AT-AT structures are going to be inside one of these caverns, something that we don't see from the outside. But as you go into the ride or you experience the ride, the journey, the Star Wars journey, you'll see these really cool, you know, giant walker figures. Because I will say, being myself, coming up to like one of those walkers, like you'll just feel how intimidated by this giant overstructure coming down at you, like about to shoot you or something like that. I think it'd be just really cool. But I don't know. I'm interested in seeing kind of what they do with the park and how this kind of comes through. Doug Chang, obviously, is the person who spent a lot of time designing the park, and he partnered with Lucasfilm or Disney Imagineers to do it. Anything else about the park, Danya?
Other than the incredible hotel that they're building.
Which we're about to talk about. Yeah, because they're talking about the park right now, but now there's a hotel.
The hotel is technically part of the Disney park.
Well, so here's the thing is, like, I'm trying to find as much information. I've been trying to find as much information about the hotel. I feel like the hotel is only going to be at Florida, not at Disneyland, whereas the park is going to be at both. It's the same at both of them.
Are there that many? Like, okay. This is ignorance kind of coming through here. Are there that many hotels? Like kind of themed hotels in California?
There is two hotels that are Disney hotels in California. So obviously, okay. I grew up in California, so I experienced. So there's the Disneyland Hotel, which is the original hotel that Disneyland put back in the 80s on the park, and the monorail stops there. And then there is Disneyland's Grand Californian Hotel, which is this. It kind of mimics like something you get like Yosemite or a national park. So it's like redwood, like it's a wooden structure. The room's really nice. It's a really nice one. The really cool part is when you leave the hotel, you have two options to go to Downtown Disney and then be able to enter either park or exit directly into Disney's California Adventure. Like go inside the park from your hotel lobby. You get to avoid lines and stuff like that. So there's only two official hotels for Disneyland, whereas obviously Disney World, which is the tourist attraction, and that's the biggest thing is like Disneyland. People who argue Disneyland versus Disney World, and I love both of them, but I won't get into it. Disneyland, more than 50% of its park attendance is by locals and people who visit all the time, whereas Disney World, I think the statistic was something like 93% is tourists versus locals, just because it's so much larger.
And to be honest, Disney, I, as someone who is technically, who would technically be coming over as a tourist, but I was going to spend the amount of money that I would need to come over to the States to go to Disney, I would always choose Disney World over Disneyland because there's more to do in one area. Mm-hmm. Therefore, mm-hmm. I get more value for the amount of money that I'm spending. And also, flights into Florida are cheaper than flights into LA.
That's the difference. And now I will tell you, and this will just be me saying one thing, is I will say, if you get a chance, I prefer Disneyland over Disney World. And I love Disney
World. I've been
to
Disneyland.
But I prefer Disneyland over Disney World because unlike Disney World, Walt Disney's created Disneyland. He never got to see Disney World. At Disneyland, they also close attractions down often. which sounds like a bad thing, but they refurbish them more often. So things are working correctly, especially even classic things. So it's really nice like to see Pirates of the Caribbean functioning the way it should function versus you hearing the audio, but things aren't actually moving. The animatronics aren't working like at Disney World. Because at Disney World, they don't close things down as often because it is such a tourist attraction. They don't want to close things down because it might be the only time someone from Brazil or Japan or the UK could be visiting Disney World and they'll never get to experience that specific, that specific ride or something like that. So in Disneyland, they'll close things down more often because majority of their traffic is locals who will most likely be back again that same year, let alone in another couple of years, whereas Disney World is definitely more tourists and stuff like that.
Space Mountain was closed both times I went to Disneyland, and that is one of my favorite rides, or at least it was at Disney World, so I was really mad
at both times I went to Disneyland. The Disneyland one's interesting because they close it down fairly often to redo it. So right now, it's not even Space Mountain. It's Hyperspace Mountain, which is it's Star Wars themed. So it's a Star Wars roller coaster right now.
I've never been on Space Mountain in Disneyland. I never got the chance to go on it because it was always shut when I was
there. And they always shut down the Haunted Mansion at the end of summer also because they redo it and make it Jack's Nightmare Before Christmas for October through, or I guess it's probably September through Christmas time. So it becomes, you know, a Nightmare Before Christmas ride. So those are the things that happens at Disneyland that never actually happens at Disney World. So if you have a chance to visit both, you know, you can ask me 100 questions about Disneyland, but the Star Wars themed hotel, the immersive hotel, which I am way too excited for, is going to be only Disney World because it keeps saying Disney themed resort at Disney World, but they didn't say anything about Disneyland. I guess maybe they'll probably try it there first and see.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that it's going to be at Disney World. They've already got a lot of themed hotels. I don't think they've got anything that is going to be anywhere near as immersive as this is going to be.
None of the other hotels, like from the Polynesian and stuff like that, that at Disney World has. Like the direct quote from Disney was, "From the second you arrive, you'll become part of the Star Wars story. You'll immediately become a citizen of the galaxy and experience all that entails, including dressing up in the proper attire. Once you leave Earth, you will discover a starship alive with characters, stories, and adventures that unfold all around you. It's 100% immersive, and the story will touch every single minute of your day and will culminate in a unique journey for every person who visits." I feel like this is going to be like a giant dinner theater type thing, where like as you go to the different restaurants, do the different things that are part of the hotel. Like, there'll be story around you that's happening. So Brack is saying, like, a murder mystery weekend. Like, I feel like that's what will be it. And the really cool part is, like, you'll be giving Star Wars attire to wear. Now, I kind of wonder about that. Because now Disney has this amazing costume department. I've been lucky enough to know people that work at Disneyland. And just to be able to see, like, the costumes that they pick up from dry clean. They're going to be given proper attire. Like, I wonder if they're going to be like, what is your size? Okay, in your hotel room, you'll find pants and a jacket that match you. So you'll be like this scoundrel walking through, like wearing like Finn/Poe's jacket and, you know, a Carillion style pants. I don't know.
I would imagine that you would have to give like the sizing that you are ahead of time.
Oh, you
like,
probably
I would imagine that like you'd book the hotel and you'd have to give that information.
Oh, yeah, and they'd probably be dietary stuff. Yeah, well, the really cool part is, like, Disney has, like, I don't know if you know anything about the magic bands that Disney is using right now, Tanya.
Yes, I do.
So, yeah, so they have a magic band. So imagine you get a special magic band for this, and every bartender there, every droid that you interact with knows who you are, knows what room you're part of, knows your name, and you're dressed in this, this cosplay outfit that they give you, and like the windows are not windows. They're scenes from a space. Like the really cool part is you're completely immersed. Like they've talked about how the windows, you're going to view out into space, which you're going to feel like you're there. Like I'm so excited for this. Like I'm just like, I have the stupid grin on my face, but we'll have to wait and see. Cause this is going to be something that unlike anything that exists today is what they said. So we'll see how this does. I have a feeling that this will be booked out for a very long time. And it might be something where I might be able to convince people to say, like, hey, I'm going to go for my birthday, and let's go. You know, who knows?
I mean, I would. It just, it's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited about this. Just like in general, just this idea of it being as immersive as it is, like, I don't think, it sounds stupid, I don't think Disney understand or realize how many people are going to want to go to this. I think that it's going to take them a little bit by surprise, like, how quickly this will sell out.
Well, I think it's, I think they have a tough sell. Like I said, I feel like it'll be like a dinner theater or a mystery weekend. And you know, you have the problem of, like, you know, the story that they're telling. Is it going to be the same story every time, or is it going to be an evolving, continuing story? Because you have people that will arrive on, say, a Monday and then leave, you know, on a, you know, the next Tuesday. Like, is the story going to repeat itself? And they're, at the end of their trip, they're going to see the same brawl that happens in the, you know, commissary. You know, who knows? Like that. That's my concern, that, you know, would be. But at the same time, like, I wonder if they're going to force it to be like everyone loads in on a specific day, everyone leaves a specific day, there's a reset, and, you know, who knows? It's unlike we've ever seen before, so we'll have to see what Disney wants to do with this. But I'm okay with it. I really am.
I'm so excited.
Anything else anything else about Galaxy's Edge or the new hotel?
I need it in my life immediately.
Hey, wait, you know what? It's 2017. It's only 2 years away. Only 2 years away, which, because you have to remember, like, think about when Force Awakens wasn't even out yet. It's like, it's only 2 years away. And guess what? After Force Awakens, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till the next one. We're coming up on The Last Jedi. It's only 6 months away. Like, it's happening. I know, right? It's happening. We're getting there. Anyway, last bit of D23 news before we go into the breakdown. Or I guess we have one other thing to talk about before that. Is the posters that came out, which, Donnie, if I remember correctly, last week you said it'd be nice to see some character posters coming out or something, or another poster. We got them. Now, I will say I'm kind of intrigued by these posters. It's not your typical Star Wars posters. And I'm looking at Hypeable's link for them, and there's a comment that says, "What is this, Hunger Games?" And you know, it's really funny. It's like the kind of grunge spray paint feel of the posters, kind of, it does feel that way. It's like they're all wearing red, which we know the title's in red, and the first poster was all red. You know, don't get me wrong, like, I like the red, but when you see, like, Rey, Finn, Poe, Luke, Leia, Kylo Ren all wearing red, you know their outfits aren't actually red, and that's a tint, it's a filter.
Yeah.
But
so the comment that I made when I wrote this up is that it reminds me so much of Crait, which is one of the planets that being used the movie, which is potentially the new resistance base. We don't know. That's my speculation. But that planet is basically white. It's primarily white because it's like salt plain. So, that's why it's so stark white. And obviously we see the resistance fighters using red powder on there in order to obscure their location. So that is what this put me in mind of. The other thing is that it's very grungy, very graffiti-esque, which also puts me in mind of, like, a resistance. So I don't know. I just kind of really like the idea that they're playing into the location of what is potentially their new resistance base. Like, it, for me, like, the aesthetic made a lot of sense. I don't know if it's because I'm reading too much into it, but it made sense.
I don't want to spend too much time breaking down the posters, just because there really isn't much other than the character and a few things to talk about. But, you know, General Leia's outfit is a little bit more regal than what we saw previously. And I think her outfit's actually red, because I remember seeing a picture of it in the Vanity Fair, if I remember correctly, and her outfit's actually red. And it doesn't feel very grungy at all. It just feels like, you know, her pose and everything just feels very, you know, not the general, but more the princess, the senator of her, You know, Kylo Ren is a little moody looking. He's walking. You see his lightsaber. You know, he's red there.
You also see Luke's lightsaber.
Which is not, but it's not Luke's lightsaber. It's Anakin's lightsaber. The lightsaber in his hand is the one that Rey has. That's not Luke's lightsaber. That's Anakin's lightsaber in Luke's hand, which is, I thought, really funny.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because when you look at it, that's not the Return of the Jedi lightsaber. Unless he built a new one, which looks like his original one that his dad had. And it's really funny is like the direction Luke is facing is the opposite direction Rey is facing, and they both are holding the same lightsaber in the pictures. And then you have Finn and Poe, which I'm glad that they have posters, but it almost feels out of place in comparison to the other ones. Like Leia, I get because it's a very different feel because it's a very regal look. Rey and Luke, because they were on the original poster, and same thing with Kylo Ren. You know, he's down there very moody. And then Finn and Poe, they're just kind of standing there. I don't know. Like, the Finn and Poe poster, they're very good. Like, don't get me wrong. John Boyega looks like he's ready to jump into action, and Poe almost looks like Oscar Isaacs looks almost like something happened, and his head is turned, and kind of like he's, you know, distraught or something. So, like, they're both really good posters, but they just feel almost out of place because we didn't get a I feel like if we had gotten a Phasma poster and maybe a First Order or a Snoke poster or something like that, I feel like the Finn and Poe ones would fit more. Does that make sense? But maybe it's also because I'm looking at the Luke, the Rey, the Leia, and the Kylo Ren poster is like their family posters. You know what I mean? Since they're all related.
Look, honestly, it makes so much sense to have Finn and Poe as posters, considering that they're still billed as the main trio.
I know. But like Rey. I said, like
I'm just putting it out there.
So here's the question:
I grouped these posters very specifically on the poster.
All right. So my next question is why? All right. So if we have the original trio, you know, that's there. We have, you know, Rey, Finn, and Poe. Makes sense. Great. Then we have to have Luke, because obviously he's going to have a line. Yep. So he's going to say something in this movie, which is great. Then we'll have General Leia, Carrie Fisher. Regardless, even if Carrie had almost no lines in this one, I feel like it'd be in poor taste not to give her as much respect and kind of anything just because of what's happened to her as an actress, let alone the character Leia. I think, you know, just definitely, you know, kind of honoring her as much as possible would be just a good in good taste, at least to me. And then Kylo Ren, which all makes sense, but why those three versus, you know, any of the other ones? Because we know Phasma's coming back. We saw Phasma in the trailer. We know, you know, Snoke is a big part of this. We know, like, First Order stormtroopers are a big part. Why no other posters? Why those characters only? Why no Rose poster?
Well, I actually made a comment saying that I would hope that someone like Rose might get a poster eventually. But for the first round of posters, this makes sense. The main trio, then you've got Luke, who is one of the central characters, then you've got Leia and Kylo Ren, who are, well, I mean, Luke, Leia, and Kylo Ren, who are definitively family and the central part of the Skywalker saga for this film. And I mean, I'm just stating facts. That's the thing, is that we know without question that they're family, like, so right. It makes all sense right. To have those three. Sorry, mm-hmm. just saying it.
Well, and Rey too, so that they're all family. Anyway, moving on to the last bit of news that we have here is the Lego booth at San Diego Comic-Con includes a 36,743 brick Luke Skywalker. Which I think is kind of awesome. Again, no lightsaber in his hand though. He's got the robotic hand.
There have been very few moments since making the decision not to go to San Diego Comic Con this year that have made me like be like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm not going. There are very, very few, but these are the ones that did. Voltron being there, and Voltron having, Voltron press room, plus Voltron showing the first episode of the next season, and a load of other Voltron stuff going on, including Hunk's food truck. That's number one. That's one of the things that makes me really sad that I couldn't go. The two is that Teen Wolf is having its final panel ever at San Diego Comic-Con for the last season. Okay? And for me, that's a very emotional thing. And thirdly, this Lego figure. I want to see that in person. Oh my god. It's so cool. Like, it's so cool. Guys, well, this is amazing.
You have seen some of the other Star Wars Lego figures, like the Chewbacca one, stuff like that,
Yeah. So, there was actual moving, working R2 that they had at Star Wars Celebration when I went, when it was in London. Like, it was actually, it moved around and stuff. And that was so cool. But no, I want this. I would make room in my bedroom somewhere to make this fit, and I would keep it forever.
Yeah, like, it's Lego always does some pretty cool things, and whoever they got to build this one did a really good job. I don't think I've ever seen them really do human faces very often, and this one is really, really well done. Like, it's good. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So
I want
move. I know you want it, Danya. But you know what, Danya? I'm going to have you lead our next conversation, which is our spotlight topic on The Last Jedi behind the scenes breakdown that you have an amazing article on Hypeable.com, which is a little long, but it's a good read.
Oh my god, it's a lot long, Mikey. Let's be real.
I'm trying to be nice, Danya, okay?
Don't be nice. I literally wrote over 1,200 words on what basically amounted to very little actual footage between, like, the actors talking about what to expect from The Last Jedi and stuff like that. Yeah, I went a little crazy.
So I will say, before we get into the breakdown, I just want to go through my first thoughts and your first thoughts of all the footage. I think it was amazing. Like, it makes me really excited to see this. One, I personally like all the background between the characters and stuff like that, just them talking and all that stuff. But seeing the new aliens, including some of the ones that are on Octu, just makes me feel like this is going to be exactly what I wanted it to be. I'm really, really excited for The Last Jedi. And this footage was exactly what I wanted to whet my appetite and get me beyond excited for it and waiting for the next trailers. Plus, who can blame Akbar saying it's a wrap at the very end? Because
I know
it's not a trap. Man. It's a wrap. So
yeah.
What did you think of this? Just first thoughts before we go through the breakdown.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. The thing is, I really enjoyed the behind the scenes stuff that they did, because a lot of the time you get to see more of the detail than you would in an actual trailer, because they stop and they pan over things slowly and get to really take it in quite a lot more than you do with a traditional trailer, because everything moves so quick, kind of cuts between everything very, very fast, and you have to try and figure things out and put things together in a much different way for a trailer than you do with behind the scenes stuff. There's something very just nice about seeing how they bring all of this stuff together. So, yeah, for me, I really enjoyed behind-the-scenes stuff anyway, but I absolutely loved it. And this, even though the trailer got me, like, really excited for The Last Jedi, I think this did an even better job getting excited. There was something about the footage that we got in this specifically that really, really, really called out to me and made me go, wow, this, I actually think this film is going to be incredible.
I'm kind of blown away with everything, from seeing things that I never thought certain characters would do to just the practical effects versus CGI effects that you see on there. It just looks amazing. So, Danya, do you want to take us through your article and kind of our breakdown of the behind the scenes footage?
Yes. So one of the first things that I looked at was Crait, which is that, like I said earlier, that planet that we see that has the white kind of covering, which isn't snow, it isn't an ice planet, it is actually salt. And there's a lot of minerals and mining going on there. We got a longer look at that. We see Rian Johnson in like some trenches, kind of setting up shots, and we also get another one where, don't know who the character is, I can't really see if that is Poe or if that is what's his face, Benicio del Toro.
Like, Benicio del Toro's character.
Yeah, I don't know if it's him. It's one, it's either of them. It moves so quickly that I could quite figure out, and they're wearing very, very similar outfits. So it's one of them, but they're sliding across the ground towards the trench to go down into the trench. But yeah, I was basically looking at it as like, honestly, we know that Dakar was like, we know that the First Order knows where that is. And because they took Starkiller Base there to try and destroy them. So we know that they were aiming for it. We also know with certainty that First Order members got off of Starkiller Base to get back to like the main fleet, wherever they are. So we know that they know that there's a resistance base on Dakar, and that is now information that is out there. So it makes sense that they are going to have to up and relocate. Honestly, Crait itself is a former Rebel Alliance base because it was such a rich mining resource. And so it's likely that they're going to go back to that as a base for the resistance. Now it's also going to make it a target, which is why I also think it's where we see a lot of those battles taking place. And I thought initially that maybe we would be seeing that towards the front end of the film, that kind of like pushes them into this huge evil and they have to deal with that or whatever. Now, because we actually see Finn and Rey on that planet as well, and Finn is wearing the lower half of the First Order uniform that we see him in later, Rey is also wearing her new costume as well. Chances are that this battle that we see taking place on Crait probably going to happen later in the instead. So probably in the last third, I
don't know if it's the last third, but I definitely think it'll take place throughout
later
the movie.
In the movie.
I don't know if it's later in the movie. I feel like a good chunk of the movie might take place on Crait, like as a whole. Obviously, leading up to the battle, everything, and obviously then the battle at Crait. Like, I feel like they'll be there the whole time. You know, we know Luke and Rey are on Ahch-To, but where is Finn going when he gets injured? You know, when he got injured, did they go to the new Rebel base on Crait? So I feel like
the battle.
Oh, you know, the battle.
Well, we
yeah,
see the explosion. Like, I don't think won't be on Crait at all during the movie. I'm speaking specifically about the battle.
The showdown. You know, we know there's going to be one big battle at the very end. So that definitely is going to happen at the last third of the film. Although, I wonder, we did have, if this is the second one and we follow anything like Empire Strikes Back, you might have a big battle at the very beginning, like a la Hoth. I don't know.
Yeah, but that, considering Rey is there, and Finn is in that First Order uniform that we see later in the trailer,
Rose, yep.
Yeah, they're going undercover. Like, that would suggest that we're not going to see that battle happen until Rey has come back, and Finn has come back from his mission. So, much as I would probably say, yeah, maybe it'll happen beginning of or midway through the film, I doubt that's going to be the case because of the situational placement of these two characters and outfits that they're wearing. If I was going to put it in a timeline, I would say that it's going to happen towards the latter part of the film.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Like, I would say probably last third. of the film, where you'll see that big battle and everything on Crete.
Yeah, the other thing that I noticed was, like, there's really, really deep trenches in Crete as well, which made, like, it was really reminiscent of, like, the trench battle in A New Hope. Like, the trench run.
Oh, the trench run? Yeah, I was thinking, like, the trenches, like, on Hoth, where the rebel troopers would go and hide, and, you know, like, trench warfare that you saw, like, in World War One and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which Hoth was based off, because especially the scene of on Crete where you have them filming, and you have the red dust kind of come over the camera. I think it's, like, 20 seconds. It's early on in the behind-the-scenes footage. Like, it makes me almost wonder if, obviously, they'll have ships and stuff, and we saw that in the trailer, but, you know, what's the stop? Like, if you I'm looking at it right now. If you look at the right before that it comes in, you actually see that there's people in the trench, and then people and someone flies into that trench. So it definitely feels kind of like a, you know, Empire Strikes Back early on trench, like someone's coming and they're going to battle that way. So we'll wait to see when that takes place, but I'm excited just because it does look. It's very Star Wars in the sense that it's a used, you know, it's a lived-in universe. You know, Crete doesn't feel like this fancy, shiny, new universe with nothing on it. Does that make sense? Like, it feels like a planet
and that makes a lot of sense considering that it was originally a Rebel Alliance base and resource. So,
I also like that it's not a forest planet like Endor, and it's not another desert planet like Jakku and Tatooine, and it's not an ice planet like Hoth. Like, it's a different style of planet, which I like
that quite a lot as well. Like, I like going to planets that we haven't really seen before, that they're being utilized in different ways. This idea of it being very rich mineral, and that being a resource with which existence may barter for equipment, weapons, other stuff that they might need. Like, that's really deeply interesting to me. So I guess we'll see what they do with it when The Last Jedi comes around. The next bit that I kind of looked at was that we get two real good looks at both Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver practicing fights. And Daisy Ridley's sees her taking on a load of people with sort of staffs. And it's multiple people attacking at the same time. So considering that she's practicing something like that, I kind of thought that maybe she might be coming up against the Knights of Ren at some point. Because we've heard so much about them. And we haven't really seen them in action other than in Rey's Force vision during The Force Awakens. So it would make a lot of sense that maybe that they would actually bring them in and use them, and that she might have to fight them at some point. I mean, it's also possible that she's up against some other weapon, group that might attack together. But
my only argument against the Knights of Ren is the way they're holding their staffs, because they don't look like lightsabers or anything else. And now, we don't really know much about Knights of Ren, if they are Force wielders also, a la Inquisitors or Jedi, you know, Fallen Jedi and stuff like Kylo Ren. But could be the guards that are, you know, guarding...
The proto-guards?
You know,
yeah,
the proto-guards that are guarding Snoke or something like that, because they almost look like they could be, like, staffs, like you mentioned, like Force pikes and stuff like that, the way they're holding them. Obviously, Daisy is using a lightsaber, and they're holding, you know, these wooden sticks in the practicing.
Yeah, which is the thing that I kind of brought up for Kylo Ren, is that we see Adam Driver practicing also against staff wielders, and for me, the possibilities are twofold here. First, that he is potentially training to perfect his strategy and defense to take on Rey, considering that he knows that she's got multiple weapons, one of which being staff. So it could be that he's coming up with a specific strategy and defense to be able to get the upper hand on her. The second is that he might be taking on either the Knights of Ren or Snoke's Protoguards and defecting from the First Order. So, I've had this sort of inkling or this gut feeling, and I think I voiced it a couple of times, that possibly Kylo Ren's role in killing his father might have opposite effect to the one that he attended, which is to untether himself from the light and push himself entirely dark. I think that it's a lot more complicated than that, and that may not necessarily be the case, that it may actually push him into further turmoil over it. And I mean, that's also this, there's also this idea out there that he may already be a double agent, like Snape is in Harry Potter, and we might be seeing something along the lines with what happened between him and Han being similar to what happened to Snape and Dumbledore. So, it's speaking of like Star Wars and Harry Potter parallel. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which one I'd believe more, that he's maybe practicing to take on Rey again, or just training in general, but seems a little odd that if this was the Protoguards, Snoke's Protoguards, that he would utilize his own personal guard to train Kylo Ren. I would feel like he would utilize other resources other than his own guard.
Yeah, maybe. The weird part is, like, I don't know if Kylo Ren would be fighting against them. Like, I'm just trying to pull it up right now, and I'm looking through all my ebooks right now to find where I have The Force Awakens purchased at, whether it was through iBooks or through Kindle. But The Force Awakens novel, there is a line specifically when he kills Han Solo that, again, I think we talked about this early on, you know, probably one of the earlier episodes, of how you even said that the novel is based on an earlier script, Danya, yeah. If I remember correctly.
Yes, very early version of the script.
But, you know, the novel does talk about how it almost does the reverse thing, where he expects killing his father would drag him to light, but instead he feels remorse from it, and it makes it harder. So I do see that there's a possible redemption for Kylo Ren. But whether that was like something he intended to happen all the time, I don't know if I believe that. I feel like...
No, I know. I'm throwing it out as like a theory more than actually wanting or believing it. Like,
okay.
There are a lot of parallels, like you said previously, between Star Wars and Harry Potter. So it was just something that I've seen people like around as a potential for what could happen, and it's not entirely outside of the realm of possibility. Is it something that I want to see them explore? Probably not. But I would discount it as being something they might do.
No, I get it. I agree with you on that. Moving on to that, we do have Finn in a couple different things. We see him in both like a flight outfit, which I feel like is, you know, I don't know if he's going to fly or drive something. And then we also have him in the First Order outfit. What do you think about these, Tanya?
I love them. I'm so excited that Finn's getting the most costume changes. It's just, it's great to me that, like, you know, throughout the movies, it's been like Padme's had like the most costume changes in the prequel trilogy. And then you had Leia had, like, a load of costume changes in the original trilogy. And it's looking like Finn is the one that's going to be going through the most costume changes. At least from, like, between the behind-the-scenes footage and the trailer itself. So, you know, we see him in a flight suit. See him in a First Order costume, First Order uniform, going undercover with Rose. We also see him in his boyfriend's, in Poe's outfit from The Force Awakens as well. But, he's getting so many costume changes. And it just makes me so delighted that instead of it being, like, the main female character that's going through all of these elaborate costume changes. It's actually Finn who's getting, like, and it makes a lot of sense to me as well that he's going through all of these different costumes that sort of emulate different personas, because from what we know from the Vanity Fair spread is that he's going to struggle with his place and with his identity. We have to remember that he still very recently broken his conditioning as a First Order trooper. So he doesn't quite know exactly where he fits in yet. So this idea that he's going through these different identities and all of the different outfits makes so much sense. And like Mai just said, he is also looking so handsome while he's finding himself. So true. He is a beautiful man. Oh my god.
Well, I will say, I did spot at least two outfits for Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, so we know there's going to be some costume changes there, so I'm okay with that too. Beyond Finn and costume changes, because obviously there's a lot there, what else do we have here? We have Kylo Ren, appears to have upgraded his to wearing a cape.
Yes, and I said that Edna Mode would be very disappointed in him. See, you know, this footage came from D23.
Yeah, that scene where he's wearing the cape, he's got his mask on, but we also see him without his mask quite a bit, and all the artwork and everything is him without the mask. So I almost wonder if he, and we also saw in the trailer the mask smoldering and damaged. I don't know if he gets it damaged during battle or he gets one of his famous temper tantrums and destroys it because he. I don't know. We just don't know. But yes, he's rocking a little bit of a cape.
He is.
I know.
Mai says, Olivator. Yeah. Mai says, not going to lie, wouldn't mind if the cape is his downfall.
Oh, boy.
Sucked into, like, the turbines of, like, a ship.
Of a ship or something. Well, they do have, what is it? Incredibles 2 is coming out soon, so, well, not
yeah,
soon,
that's why announced. I was making the joke. I thought it was quite timely. Especially because they did, at D23, they did a big tribute video to Edna Mode, which was incredible. If you haven't seen that, you need to go find it online. It was great. But, yeah, that's why I specifically made the joke, because they had that tribute during the Disney animation panel that they saw. And they specifically talked about her double cape's catchphrase. Yeah, no, this seems timely and appropriate.
No, definitely. What about the grieving? I will say the scene on Octu with the Falcon and the fire and Chewie sitting alone, which I found interesting that R2's not there, but I guess R2 would have gone to Luke and Chewie would have just hung out with the Falcon.
Yeah. It's just this idea of him sitting alone. This idea of him being in the shadow of the Falcon, just Firelight keeping him company. There's something so powerful about that image. Like, powerfully lonely and just so heartbreaking. Because we've seen, like, physical manifestations of grief so far. Like, Rey was very outwardly grieving, and she had a moment with Leia as well, where they consoled each other over their grief very briefly as well. But I feel like Chewie and Han have been such steadfast companions for so long that grief is something that is going to shape him so much in the film. And even for us as fans, like, the idea of, like, how we're going to grieve is probably going to be through Chewie, because he's that gateway. Like, they're always together, Han and Chewie. Like, you don't really have one without the other. So seeing them sort of isolated from each other, and it just provides, like, interesting development opportunity for Chewie's character, because we haven't really had the opportunity to explore him as a character outside of his friendship with Han. So, yeah, I, as much as this sort of imagery hurt me deeply, I think that it's, the potential of it is a huge opportunity for exploring Chewie as a character.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to give Chewie a little bit more depth than what we've had before. Obviously, we had Chewie in the comics and stuff like that, but I really want to see Chewie evolve as become a main character almost, because it's so far from what the EU used to have, where Chewie was the character that died versus Han. So I'm excited to see how Chewie deals with grief, because the EU did a phenomenal job of Han dealing with Chewie's death, grief-wise. So I want to see how Chewie handles the death of his best friend for years. Moving on to the creatures, I will say there are quite a few different creatures that we see, from animals like dogs and wolf-looking characters to the new porgs that we know are going to be on Octu with Luke, which I will say they look absolutely adorable, especially with like the one looking around with the big ol' eyes. Do you agree with me on that, Danya?
Yeah, they're adorable. They are absolutely adorable.
They almost remind me of the, if you're a Doctor Who fan, the Adipose, the little tiny, like, fat aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of
reminds me of,
like,
I know the ones you mean.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, they're kind of cute. So, yeah, so I'm surprised. I really like them, especially, like, you see almost, like, I'm sure the scene that we see them, it, you know, there's two scenes with them, but someone is, like, using their moving their hand on them. I feel like they're simply pushing down the fur for the shot and stuff like that. But it could be almost like they're petting them like a cat or something. They're like, hi. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited for the creatures. And I will say, on Cato Blight, the plethora of aliens that we see there makes me just beyond ecstatic. This is the new cantina scene, a la, you know, New Hope or Mos's Castle, you know, Force Awakens style, to see all the different aliens. Anything else about the creatures, Tanya? Because I'm just,
no, they were just like, they were very, very exciting. The porgs actually remind me of like teeny tiny fuzzy penguins. Like, they do though.
They do look like a little bit of penguin-esque, if you will.
Yeah. Which I'm just throwing it out there. Be reminded that things in cute packages are often more vicious than they originally appear. Like, just look at those Ewoks.
I was going to say, and look at BB-8. You know, got that. Yeah.
Vicious. So vicious.
So vicious and scary. Other things, we have an X-Wing pilot falling down a shaft lined with bombs, which I don't know if this is... Is it a shaft, or is it... I know he's falling, but I don't know what it... If it's like a... I don't know what it would be. I guess it has to be some type of shaft or something.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out exactly what this was. If anyone is familiar with, like, interiors of, like, the ships, that might recognize if it's actually inside, like a loading bay for a ship or something, please reach out, because I just was like, it's falling down into something that is lined with bombs. And that's not going to end well. Like,
my question is, are those actually bombs, or are those, you know...
They look like bombs.
They look like bombs. Well, they look like bombs. They just look... There's spheres with red on them. So they definitely... Like, I'm looking through the scene right now. And I'm kind of going through it. There, you know, there are these ladder-type things on the right side of it. Like, and then I just don't know what it is. Like, I feel like it... Maybe it is... Maybe he was a gunner or something like that, and that's the ammo, and he's falling down, and I don't, you know, who knows? But it definitely looks like he's fallen. They obviously, you know, this is what I love about the behind the scenes footage. They give you just enough of tease that you're just like, I don't know what it is, and I want to know more. And who was that? You know, is that somebody that we care about, or is that just some random resistance guy? You know, he is wearing the same outfit that Finn is wearing at one point in time. You know, the kind of yellow mustardy flight outfit that could be used for an X-Wing pilot or an A-Wing pilot or something. So it's interesting to see what that could be, but, you know, it's something of note. We also do get a glimpse of both Laura Dern and Benicio Del Toro. Benicio Del Toro, we still don't know his character's name. They haven't officially announced it. He's wearing some type of hat type thing, like a brown almost.
Yeah.
I find it kind of interesting. You know, he's a shady character, and you know, the notes that we have about it is that we don't quite know what side he's actually on through the whole line. So it's interesting. And Laura Dern definitely looks like she's greeting General Leia, which we knew was going to happen, and I believe that was on Cato Blight, if I remember correctly, when we got that information from Vanity Fair.
Yes, so it was during that really, really long spread that they did on The Last Jedi. But also, they're interacting. We actually have visual proof that these two female characters are going to interact with each other. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have Rey jumping into a green screen pool, which is funny because she's one, diving into a pool. So she's doing a full-on dive, like just dive. But she grew up on a desert planet. Does she know how to swim?
I mean, that is something that is a question that I very much considered.
And the other question is, if you know, I gotta take a screenshot for this just so you can see. It's like she's doing a full on like dive. Now, I'm sure Rey is very athletic and all, but have you ever seen, like, if you've never been swimming before, have you seen people try to learn how to dive, Danya? I grew up in Southern California, so I grew up with swimming all the time, and like my cousins, you know, they'd come over and they'd, you know, try to go swimming, and it was really funny to see, like, even my younger cousins who are like, you know, who were 10 at the time, try to learn how to dive. Like, you know, they put their hands out and they would do like a belly flop, but like in a U form, like their legs, you know, they're at the edge of the water. Mm-hmm. They kind of bend over a little bit and they fall in. Like, they don't actually do a dive like you would see in the Olympics or like what Rey is doing here in the shot. So, you know, what do you think about this? Like, I find it really interesting that Rey is just like, oh, I'm going to go take a swim. You know, cool off.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, is it really, like, does that make sense? Not sure that it does.
Some of the comments in Discord are like, maybe she can force swim? And maybe that's an ability? So maybe force swim.
That's not ability. How the force works.
It does for her. At one with the sea. I like these comments. They're great. But we'll have to wait and see. Maybe she's just trying to get away from something. Maybe there's fire around her. You know, it is a green screen pool. So obviously they're going to take, you know, the water's there, so they have the built-in refraction and everything. But the background and everything is going to be put in digitally after the fact. So we'll
maybe Luke's done something to make her want to run away.
Well, maybe
I can't swim, but I'm going to go.
Well, you know what, though? You know what? I have the picture of her diving, and then you have a picture of her in the water with like her hands just spreading out. Maybe this is, maybe Luke throws her off one of the cliffs on Ahch-To or something like that, and she just ends up turning it into a dive.
Oh, my God.
Who knows? Anyway, there's also pictures of executioner troopers, which I think are really cool, beyond the weapon that they have. They're really cool kind of armor in the top right of their shoulder. The shoulder bells are actually black versus white, I think is a really cool thing. It's kind of a matte black almost.
Yeah.
Those are the little things I look at. And you can also see that their helmets are different than the troopers that we had in The Force Awakens. But we do know that the troopers in this film have a little bit redesigned mask and helmet, so it'll be fun to see how they kind of play out and what execution troopers will be doing in the film. And we cannot forget about my favorite part of the thing. Well, probably not my favorite part, but one part that made me very happy was none other than Admiral Ackbar made an appearance at the very end saying, "It's a wrap." Because it wasn't a trap. It was a wrap of the film. So
yeah, I love that so, so, so much. I will say that maybe my favorite part of it, though it's still heartbreaking, was Carrie Fisher saying that Star Wars, it's about family, and that's what's
so
powerful
about
it. I
know, because Luke is Rey's father. It's about family.
I opened myself up to that one so much.
Carrie just told us that Rey is Luke's daughter. It's about family. The Skywalker family. And
do you know The Force Awakens was also about the Skywalker family, because Kylo Ren is Leia's son. Like... Everyone keeps forgetting that Kylo Ren is a Skywalker.
Like, but he's not. He's a Solo.
He's still part of the family. He's still got Skywalker blood in him.
Yeah, but he went to the dark side all Solo by himself. But bad joke. All right. Anything else about the behind the scenes, Danya?
No, I'm good.
That's it. So so we can say that it's a wrap.
We can say that it's a wrap, yes.
All right.
I missed you and your terrible impressions, Mikey. No!
No. Alright, anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Danya.
And it's a wrap! And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.